الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد praise Allah سبحانه وتعالى may ask Allah to exalt and mention and grant peace and send His blessings upon the Prophet Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام does anyone know the five P's the five P's and if you're hungry don't think of peas carrots and peas okay I mean the letter P
Market. It depends.
It could be marketing, it could be other than marketing. But does anyone know of that? Have you ever heard of five P's before? You know they have all this kind of stuff. They always get put these letters together. Anyone? Any candidate? The five P's are proper preparation prevents poor performance. And what we saw in the salah right now was a classic example. When you're not ready to be an imam, and there's no preparation, no proper preparation, there's poor performance. So I apologize. It's not befitting for the imam to be making mistakes, specifically in Surah Al-Buruj. So it's my fault. However, had Allah decreed that I was knew I was going to be the imam, I would have done my homework. So it's not fair though for the general people to have to go through this. So accept my sincere apologies. Anyways, going back to our discussion here in the book of Mukhtasar Minhaj al-Qasidin, we were at the chapter Bayan wa Adadi Awradi Layli wa Nahar wa Tartibiha. The chapter on clarifying the various forms or remembrance of the night and the day and the sequence of which. How do they come? Which one comes first? He said, أَوْرَادُ النَّهَارِ سَبْعًا وَأَوْرَادُ اللَّيْلِ سِتَّةً فَلْنَذْكُرْ فَضِيلَةَ كُلَّ وِرْدٍ وَوَظِيفَتَهُ وَمَا يَتَعَلَّقُ بِهِ The awrad of the day are seven, and those of the night are six. So let's mention each, the virtue of each, the duty, or the intent, or the objective of each, and then whatever is related to that. He said, and here we will go into some issues, but we'll deal with it as we come, inshallah ta'ala. He says here, الورد الأول من أوراد النهار ما بين طلوع الفجر الثاني إلى طلوع الشمس. The first word is the one which falls in between the second fajr and the sunrise. Now, why did he say the second fajr? Do we have two fajrs? No, we have actually known al-fajr al-kathib. Have you ever heard of that before? This is the mustalahat in the deen. And al-fajr al-sadiq. That is, there's a time pre-fajr which the person who is not experienced doesn't have the knowledge in identifying the you know horizon or whatever looking out there will think it's fajr. But it's not the real fajr. It's a very sensitive issue because the time of salah and fasting and all kinds of things are related to it. So, al-fajr al-sadiq is the actual real one, the truthful one. That's what it means. So, he's saying al-fajr al-thani, just in case someone thought the first one. Until the sunrise. وَهُوَ وَقْتٌ شَرِيفٌ And this is a noble time. وَقَدْ أَقْسَمَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى بِهِ فَقَالَ وَالصُّبْحِ إِذَا تنفس. Allah Azza wa Jal gave an oath by this particular time, which is the morning when التنفس breathes, that early dawn. فينبغي للمريد إذا انتبه من النوم أن يذكر الله سبحانه وتعالى فقول الحمد لله الذي أحيانا بعد ما أماتنا وإليه النشور. بعد أن أماتنا وإليه النشور. Therefore, the one who is seeking Allah's pleasure, that is, not the murid of the other people. Huh? If he wakes up from his sleep, he should remember Allah Azza wa Jal and make this particular dua. All praise is due to Allah who granted us life after He had caused us to die, and to Him is the return. Now this is very important because this proves the concept of the idea that when you sleep, it's a form of death. It's a form of death. Allah يتوفى الأنفس, for example, Allah عز وجل said, حين منامي. Allah عز وجل causes the soul to like pass away at the time of sleep, and then Allah عز وجل will send it back for the one who had decreed for it أجل مسمى or قدر to live on. Otherwise, he may claim the soul during death, during sleep. So it's a smaller form of death. Sleeping is a smaller form of death. Not complete death, so that your soul completely departs from your body. But according to the innovations, it's out there. It's out there. And therefore, people see dreams and so on and so forth. And so when somebody wants to argue with you about Jesus, alayhi salam, that Allah Azza wa Jal said to him, إِنِّي مُتَوَفِّيك, that I will cause you to the same thing, wafat. And they say, well, then that means Jesus died, and you're saying that he was raised alive. We will say no, because in Islam we have this idea that you don't have to be necessarily dead. And wafat here could mean like, you know, like tuwaffi shakhs, مثلاً حسابه أو أجره, is a form of fulfillment until something has reached this complete form. So the term wafat is in and of itself has many interpretations. So be careful of the Christians trying to use this against you. نعم. And he said, روي ذلك عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من أفراد البخاري. نعم. And he said here, رواه البخاري والترمذي والترمذي وأبو داود عليهم رحمة الله جميعا. وفي أفراد مسلم من حديث ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه قال كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم إذا أمسى قال أمسينا وأمسى الملك لله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير ربي أسألك خير ما في هذه الليلة وخير ما بعدها وأعوذ بك من شر ما في هذه الليلة وشر ما بعدها ربي أعوذ بك من الكسل وسوء الكبر ربي أعوذ بك من عذاب في النار وعذاب في القبر. In this hadith, of course, all of these you can find in a cute little book called Muslim Fortress. I don't think يعني, any Muslim should not have this book. It's pretty much almost authentic all the way. There are a couple of narrations which are questionable, or at least some of the ulama have some comments on the authenticity of some of the narrations. It is very limited in number, but generally the book is reliable, inshallah ta'ala. Specifically in the issue of the adhkar sabah and masa, because we have the work of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, al-kalim al-tayyib, and Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah did like a revision. He went through the book of authenticating it, then he observed some ahadith in the adhkar and sabah and masa rahimahullah, which he considered to be da'if, along with some of the adhkar pertaining to entering the house, bismillahi walajna wa bismillahi kharajna. According to the Shaykh, that's not an authentic tradition. It's not an authentic tradition, but anyways, this is an area where the scholars differ. Yani, you know, we'll take it easy inshallah, just so you will know. So in this particular hadith, it says, of course, we have reached the evening, and in that time, during every time, the dominion belongs to Allah Azza wa Jalla, and all praise due to Allah. There's no God worthy of worship except Allah. He has no partners. To Him belongs the dominion. To Him belongs the praise, and He's able to do all things. Then you say, oh Allah, I ask you of whatever good is in this night, and whatever will come after. All the good which will come after. And I seek refuge with you, O Allah, of the evil which is in this night and that which will come after. O Allah, I seek refuge with you from laziness. See that? The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, seeking refuge with Allah from laziness. So therefore, is being lazy good or bad? Automatically, when the Prophet salam, seeks refuge with Allah from something, is it good or bad? It's good. It's bad. Okay, just testing. He didn't say it's good, by the way. It's bad. It's bad. And laziness is at various degrees. You know, they say that some people are so lazy, you know, that he was working in a grocery store, and someone came and asked him he had his feet stretched out. Someone asked him where that one thing is, tomato or whatever, with his foot. He gestured, you know, it's in that direction. He doesn't want to move his arm. Okay, he's in such a lazy condition that with his foot, he just, you know, it's over there. Marra. Done, yani. And some people are not that lazy, but they're lazy. The worst kind of laziness is the one related to what? Huh? Ibadah. Ibadah in general, salah specifically. And more specifically, fajr. Hey, this is, if you really want to know whether you're lazy or not, you know, don't look too long. Don't waste time. Check yourself at fajr. If you see the clock, you see 2 minutes for adhan, and then you go back to sleep, know that there's some major laziness there. Because 2 minutes, by the time you get up and go to the bathroom and do what you do and go downstairs and pray the sunnah of fajr and so on and so forth, that's almost iqama time. Yeah. This is if the masjid is right across the street from you, let alone if you have to walk some distance or those who have to drive sometimes. So that is a really good benchmark or yardstick for us to see whether we are lazy or not. And generally, you know, which means we should also engage in some sports. And my advice to the Muslims in general, myself first and the Shabab specifically, is don't waste too much time, just watching a whole match. You know, you watch a whole soccer match while you're eating chips and French fries, and you know they're losing weight and you're gaining weight. You're like, yeah, mashallah, we won. Ya Shaykh, they won. You lost, barakallah fiqh. You're out there. By the time you realize what's going on, you can't even get out of the couch. So this is nothing really beneficial. You may want to watch something for skills, benefit from their skills so you can apply them in your own sport. But to be a spectator, like a cheerleader, for all the teams, I don't think it's befitting. Whether it is cricket or basketball or football or soccer, whatever you want to call it, it's same, sawa, sawa. Do something. You play the sport. You lose weight. You get engaged. You benefit. Then, jazakallah khair. But just to watch, sad man. Then the Prophet ﷺ would seek refuge with Allah Azza wa Jal from the difficult condition of being an elderly. When you go old and you start kind of, as the human being gets older, he goes back to the baby stages, He needs someone to look after him, he needs attention, so on and so forth. And that could be difficult upon the person himself. Forget about the people around him. Upon the person himself, he doesn't want to be a burden. He's an old man, he's already, lived through life, and he doesn't want to be a burden. So you seek refuge with Allah from being in this particular condition. And then you seek refuge with Allah from the punishment of the hellfire and the punishment of the grave. And this is from the evidences of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, that there is a punishment in the grave. Otherwise, the Prophet ﷺ would not have sought refuge with Allah from Azab al-Qabr, Azabu fil Qabr. Because we have Muslims, so-called Muslims, today, who say, there's no Azab al-Qabr. There's no such thing. Why? Because it doesn't make sense. Why does it make sense? How can you be in the grave? We open a grave, we saw nothing but dirt and bones. We could not see any garden of Jannah. We didn't see any pit from the pits of the hellfire. We couldn't see this, and therefore there must be nothing there. Is this a rational way of looking at things? How do you refute that? What is the first answer? The first, default, generic answer for any philosophical argument of this sort. La la la. And now you're trying to refute with other evidence that there's Azab al-Qabr. And the ayah in the Quran is not as explicit. It's there. An-naru yu'radun 'alayha ghuduwan wa 'ashiyya. وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ إِلَى آخِرِ. But still, we want an answer that doesn't only address the issue of the punishment of the grave. Anyone who's skeptical about anything pertaining to after this life of ours, how do you refute them? The best way, according to the ulama, the best way to refute someone is by making them acknowledge and admit something, by getting something that they acknowledge and then telling them they're the same. This is why we say to the Christian or the Jew, your disbelief in Muhammad alayhi sallam is in fact disbelief in Jesus. And if you believed in Jesus based on such miracles, then the same description fit the Prophet alayhi sallam. So on what basis are you accepting one, rejecting one, when if you were to observe them, you will have the same evidence for both? So what is the greatest way to say, okay, do you believe? Okay, fine, let's set aside the qabr and the adab or the delight of the qabr. Do you believe in Yawm al-Qiyamah?
Yes.
Do you believe in Jahannam being eternal? Yes. So you believe people will burn in Jahannam eternally? Yes. How? Can your physical body now handle it? Can you endure being in the fire, or will you roast? You will roast after 5-10 minutes, khalas. Then you become ashes. Don't the Hindus burn people to ashes? Don't people until now burn themselves to ashes, then they throw themselves in the ocean for whatever reason? How are people going to burn in the hellfire eternally? He will have to say, well, you know, Allah wills. This is the will of Allah. Say exactly. So Allah, who will make people stay in Jahannam eternally, can make people in the grave be punished or be delighted without you seeing them. You didn't see the people in Jahannam, did you? No, and you didn't see the people in the grave. So then what? So the same thing that you're refuting, you're denying, we can find you evidences that you acknowledge. If you disbelieve in the Akhirah as well, then where's Islam? Now you disbelieve in everything in the Quran and the Sunnah at this point. Allahu a'lam. Allahu a'lam. وَإِذَا أَصْبَحَ قَالَ ذَلِقَ أَيْضًا وَأَصْبَحْنَا وَأَصْبَحَ الْمُلْكُ لِلَّهِ. And if you up in the morning, then you make the same dhikr. But instead of the term أَمْسَيْنَا, you say أَصْبَحْنَا. Very easy. We should all memorize this, inshallah. إِلَى آخِرِي. وَيَقُولُ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الَّذِي لَا يَضُرُّ مَعَ اسْمِهِ شَيْءٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي السَّمَاءِ وَهُوَ الْسَمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. MashaAllah, tabarakAllah. So, in the name of Allah, with whose name nothing can harm in the heavens and the earth, and He is the all hearing, all knowing. You say this 3 times. And you also say, رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبًّا وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا وَبِمُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ نَبِيًّا وَرَسُولًا. I am pleased with Allah Azza wa Jal as my Lord or my Rabb, and Muhammad and Islam as my way of life, and the Prophet Muhammad صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ as a prophet and a messenger. وَإِذَا فَإِذَا صَلَّى الْفَجْرَ قَالَ وَهُوَ ثَانٍ رِجْلَهُ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَتَكَلَّمْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ لَهُ الْمُلْكُ وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ يُحْيِي وَيُمِيتُ وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ 10 times. The Shaykh said, when you conclude Salatul al-Fajr, you say while your leg is still twisted, still bent, before you move from your location. You say 10 times, لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد يحيي ويميت وهو على كل شيء قدير. ويذكر سيد الاستغفار. ويذكر سيد الاستغفار. What does that mean? ما شاء الله. But no one translated what I said. He mentions, why is it called سيد الاستغفار? سيد is like a master. Meaning it's of virtue. It's higher in the hierarchy than others. Why? I mean, if you read it, it's self-explanatory. The level of humiliation in the hadith, in the dua, and you know, your beseeching of Allah Azza wa Jal explains why this could be the Sayyid of al-Istighfar. Which is basically the statement, Allahumma anta rabbi la ilaha illa ant, khalaqtani wa ana abduka wa ana ala ahdika wa wa'dika ma istata'at, a'udhu bika min sharri ma sana'at, abu'u laka bi ni'matika alayya wa abu'u bi dhanbi faghfir li fa innahu la yaghfiru adh-dhunuba illa ant. Oh Allah, you are my Lord and Master. There is none worthy of worship but you. You have created me and I am your slave. See, look at this, servitude. And I am upon the covenant and the promise which I have given to the best of my ability, admitting the shortcomings. I seek refuge with you from the evil of that which I have done. And I admit to you the favor you have upon me. And I admit my sin as well. So forgive me, there's none who forgives the sins but you. Beautiful dua. Beautiful dua. Subhanallah. ويقول أصبحنا على فطرة الإسلام وكلمة الإخلاص وعلى دين نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وملة أبينا إبراهيم حنيفا مسلما وما كان من المشركين. You further say, we have woken up, or we have reached the morning time upon the fitrah of Islam, the tawheed, the submission to Allah, and the statement of ikhlas, and upon the religion of our Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, and upon the way of Ibrahim. And he was a Hanif. He was diverting from any deviance. He stayed away from any wrong path. Musliman. And he was never among the polytheists. وَيَدْعُوا اللَّهُمَّ أَصْلِحْ لِي دِينِ الَّذِي هُوَ عِصْمَةُ أَمْرِي وَأَصْلِحْ لِي دُنْيَايَ الَّتِي فِيهَا مَعَاشِي وَأَصْلِحْ لِي آخِرَةِ الَّتِي فِيهَا مَعَادِي وَاجْعَلِ الْحَيَاةَ زِيَادَةً لِي فِي كُلِّ خَيْرٍ وَاجْعَلِ الْمَوْتَ رَاحَةً لِي مِنْ كُلِّ شَرٍّ. This is an important dua. Some of us might have forgotten it. We usually hear it in Ramadan. And maybe it's been a while since we heard it. So it's good to get it back into the system, inshallah. This dua says, Oh Allah, rectify for me my... This is a very comprehensive dua. Oh Allah, rectify for me my religion, which is the stronghold of my affair. And rectify for me my worldly affair, and which is my livelihood. In which there's my livelihood. And rectify for me my hereafter, because this is my destination, this is my promise, this is my appointment. And make life means of acquiring every kind of good. And make death means of getting safety and comfort from every kind of evil. Yani when you die, khalas, you don't have to worry about anything anymore. Then he went on to say, وَيَدْعُوا بِدُعَاءِ أَبِي الدَّرْدَاءِ اللَّهُمَّ أَنْتَ رَبِّي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ عَلَيْكَ تَوَكَّلْتُ وَأَنْتَ رَبِّي الْعَرْشِ الْعَظِيمِ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ كَانَ وَمَا لَمْ يَشَأْ لَمْ يَكُنْ وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ الْعَلِيِّ الْعَظِيمِ أَعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَحَاطَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عِلْمًا. Let me just check here if there are any comments on this particular wording. Anyways, the Shaykh rahimahullah attributed this to Abu Darda, and I don't see any reference to this particular thing. So it's a general dua, inshallah. Huh? Yeah, it doesn't say that on mine. Okay, alhamdulillah, so we skip it. Barakallahu feek. Then he went on to say, وَيَنْبَغِي لَهُ قَبْلَ خُرُوجِهِ إِلَى صَلَاةِ الْفَجْرِ أَنْ يُصَلِّيَ السُنَّةِ فِي مَنْزِلِهِ ثُمَّ يَخْرُجُ مُتَوَجِّهًا إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ. Furthermore, ثُمَّ يَخْرُجَ. It is incumbent on him prior to leaving to Salat al-Fajr to pray the Sunnah at home. Because the asl is that the Prophet ﷺ prayed the Sunnah at home. Then he should head towards the Masjid and he should say, and this one is no bueno. Okay? This one has a serious, serious issue because it conflicts with our aqeedah. It conflicts with our aqeedah and the concept of tawassul. And you find that any time they want to prove something to their favor, you find that the hadith is da'if. It does not support them. Huh? So this one we will not address, obviously, because the hadith is inauthentic. فَإِذَا دَخَلَ الْمَسْجِدِ فَلْيَقُلْ مَا رَوَى مُسْلِمْ فِي صَحِيحِهِ أَنَّ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالَ إِذَا دَخَلَ أَحَدَكُمُ الْمَسْجِدَ فَلْيُسَلِّمَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ ثُمَّ لْيَقُلْ اللهم افتح لي أبواب رحمتك وإذا خرج فليقم اللهم أني أسألك من فضلك. Of course, this is a segment of the dua. If you enter the masjid, then you should do what the Prophet ﷺ taught, that if one of you enters the masjid, let him first send salah upon the Prophet ﷺ. Then you should say, Oh Allah, open for me the doors of your mercy. And when you leave, you say, Oh Allah, I ask you of your bounty. The longer one is أعوذ بالله العظيم وجل الكريم وسلطانه القديم من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله اللهم افتح لي أبواب رحمتك. That is the full version, if we may say, or the combination of the أدعية. ثم يطلب الصف الأول منتظرا للجماعة داعيا بنحو ما تقدم من الأذكار والأدعية. Then he should seek the first row. And you will never find a scholar who will tell you otherwise in regards to this issue. Seek the first row, awaiting the jama'ah, making dua in a manner similar to what we have presented earlier in terms of the etiquettes of dua and the etiquettes of adhkar. فَإِذَا صَلَّى الْفَجْرَ اسْتُحِبَّ أَنْ يَمْكُثَ فِي مَكَانِهِ إِلَى طُلُوعِ الشَّمْسِ. And if he prays Fajr, it is recommended that he remains in his place until sunrise. Based on a hadith which was authenticated by Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah, that whosoever does so, then he will have the ajr of hajjatin tammatin tammatin tammatin. It's complete hajj. فَقَدْ رَوَى أَنَسْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ عَنِ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَنَّهُ قَالَ مَنْ صَلَّى الْفَجْرَ فِي جَمَاعَةٍ ثُمَّ قَعَدَ يَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى حَتَّى تَطْلُعَ الشَّمْسُ ثُمَّ صَلَّى رَكْعَتَيْنِ كَانَتْ لَهُ كَأَجْرِ حَجَّةٍ وَعُمْرَةٍ تَامَةً تَامَةً. سبحان الله. حديث رواه الترمذي وقال حديث حسن. We said some of the ulama said it's ضعيف and some of the ulama said it is صحيح. Take it easy, brother. The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever prays Fajr in a jama'ah, then he remains remembering Allah until the sun rises. Then he prays two rak'at, which is the rak'at, you know, the duha, right? Or the shuruq, the rak'atain of shuruq. Of course, the scholars say, if you look at the timetable, you usually wait 10 to 15 minutes after the time it says on the paper. So if it says, 7:10, you push it another 10 minutes, 7:20, to make sure that the sun had actually risen. according to what we've heard from the scholars. So you will have the ajr of umrah, hajj and umrah, complete, complete, complete. وليكن وظائف وقته أربعة الدعاء والذكر والقراءة والفكر. And let your time be occupied in doing four duties: supplication, remembrance, recitation, contemplation. وليأتي بما أمكنه وليتفكر في قطع القواطع وشغل الشواغل عن الخير ليؤدي وظائف يومه أو يومه وليتفكر في نعم الله تعالى ليتوفر شكره. And let him, you know, do of that whatever he is able, within his ability and capability. And let him reflect on the things which may prevent that, the obstacles which may face him in the way, or the things which may occupy and keep him busy, away from goodness, so that he may fulfill the duties of that day. And let him remember the favors of Allah Azza wa Jalla upon him, so he may be thankful accordingly. الورد الثاني ما بين طلوع الشمس إلى الضحى وذلك بمضي ثلاث ساعات من النهار. The second word is the one between the sunrise and duha, and that was after 3 hours had gone from the day. إذا فرض النهار 12 ساعة إذا فرض النهار 12 ساعة وهو الربع. If we assume that the day is 12 hours, and that would be a quarter of that. وهذا وقت شريف وفيه وظيفة. This is also a noble time, and it has two expectations. أحدهما صلاة الضحى. The first of which صلاة الضحى. Does anyone know any hadith about صلاة الضحى? عبد الله. أي حديث أبو هريرة that he said أوصاني خليلي that my beloved advised me of three things, صح, that I should pray witr before I sleep, because Abu Huraira used to revise the hadith رضي الله عنه at a different condition. Otherwise, the best is to delay witr till the end of the night. After you sleep, then you wake up. على كل حال, and salat al-duha, and fasting 3 days of each month. نعم. Anyone knows another hadith? Very important hadith about salat al-duha. We should start praying Salat al-Duha actually. I don't know how many, don't burn yourself out. I don't know how many of us do it, but maybe we'll use tonight inshallah as a reminder for all of us to start praying Salat al-Duha. A couple of rak'at will do a tremendous job. No one remembers the hadith? I love that. بالمعنى يجي. That you have how many joints, in your body, 360, and that Salat al-Duha is like a sadaqah, and each one has a sadaqah due on its behalf. Salat al-Duha will suffice you that. That's a lot of stuff. That's a lot of stuff. Subhanallah. Yani instead of doing it 300, of course, we understand that al-amru bil-ma'roof sadaqah, wa-nahi an al-munkar sadaqah. Sadaqah could be done, you know, someone can meet the quota of the 360. But Salat al-Duha, يُجْزِي عَنْ هَذَا كُلِّ يعني, it will do the job. And it's only minimum 2 rak'at. Some of the scholars say you can pray up to 8. Some of them say it's unlimited. But the minimum requirement is 2. It takes a few minutes, inshallah. And plus, early in the morning, the day you're working, it's good to take some time out and remember Allah Azza wa Jal. You'll feel energetic, inshallah. You revive yourself. Huh? Oh, you get... Oh, ما في مشكلة.
3 hours off.
Yeah, I mean, Salat al-Duha is from, technically, because he is Shuruq and Duha and has a third name. Al-Muhum, all of them are referring to that time, but the time is where the name comes from. The time. There's a third one. Salat al-Awabin, is that what it is? La la hadi wahda thaniya. It has a third name, which is the latest part of it. Al-Muhum, 3 hours into Salat al-Duha. Now, after Shuruq. So if Shuruq is 7 o'clock, so you're looking at 9, 10, around this time. Now, inshallah. وَالثَّانِيَ مَا تَعَلَّقُ بِالنَّاسِ. The other obligation or duty that you are expected to fulfill has to do with people. So the first one is duha, that's between you and Allah. The second one is عِيَادَةُ مَرِيد, visiting a sick person. أَوْ تَشِيعِ جَنَازَة, أَوْ جِنَازَة, both are said. To walk, behind a funeral procession. أو حضور مجلس علم or attending a gathering of knowledge أو قضاء حاجة مسلم or fulfilling the need of a Muslim. وإن لم يفعل شيئا من ذلك تشغل بالقراءة والذكر. And if he has nothing else to do, then he occupies himself with قراءة and ذكر. And you can do this even in modern days. Nowadays, you're sitting behind a computer maybe and doing some things. That doesn't prevent you from saying subhanAllah walhamdulillah while you're working. Of course, the people next to you think you have problems, you know, because this guy is talking to himself. But you explain to them, if they're non-Muslims, if you have non, if a Muslim, they understand, mashallah, you're remembering Allah. For the non-Muslims, they may not know what you're doing. So you use this as an opportunity for da'wah. You say, maybe you'll see me moving my mouth all the time. Don't worry, I don't speak to myself. I haven't reached that point yet. Of course, maybe after a couple of months working here, I will get there. But until then, I'm remembering, you know, my Creator. So this is how we Muslims, and you can open the door of da'wah with something like that. Now, most people start speaking to themselves actually after working in a place for too long. والورد الثالث من وقت الضحى إلى الزوال. والوظيفة في هذا الوقت الأقسام الأربعة وزيادة أمرين. The third one is the time between ضحى and زوال, which is ظهر. And the obligation or the duty is the same things we mentioned earlier, which is القراءة والتفكر والدعاء. نعم. والقراءة, huh? جنازة, no. He's speaking about the other ones we mentioned earlier. نعم. وزيادة أمرين. And we add two things. أحدهما الاشتغال بالكسب والمعاش. Or it could be that actually. الاشتغال بالكسب والمعاش وحضور السوق. Busy. Well, you know, back then there was a small time for work. You know, one of the things which you do during the day is busying yourself with earning a living. MashaAllah, tabarakAllah. And your livelihood, and then go into the market. فَإِنْ كَانَ تَاجِرًا فَلْيَتَّجِرْ بِصِدْقُ وَأَمَانَ. And if you happen to be a merchant, then do so with honesty, huh? And with truthfulness. وَإِنْ كَانَ صَاحِبْ صَنْعَ فَلْيَصْنَعْ بِنَصِيحَةٍ وَشَفَقَةٍ. And if you are someone who builds or puts things together, whatever, then do so while being sincere and being compassionate to the people, like a carpenter or something of the sort. Now build things properly. وَلَا يَنْسَ ذِكْرَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى فِي جَمِيعَ أَشْغَالِهِ وَلْيَقْنَعْ بِالْقَلِيلِ. And he should not forget the remembrance of Allah throughout his job, and let him be satisfied with little. وَالثَّانِي الْقَيْلُولَةِ. You all know the قَيْلُولَة, right? قَيْلُولَة? فَإِنَّهَا مِمَّا تُعِينُ عَلَى قِيَامِ اللَّيْلِ. قَيْلُولَة will help you pray at night. كَمَا يُعِينُ السُّحُورَ عَلَى صِيَامِ النَّهَارِ. The same way, سُحُور will help you fast during the day. فَإِنَّمَا فَلْيَشْتَهِدْ فِي الْإِنْتِبَاهِ قَبْلَ الزَّوَالِ بِقَدْرِ الْإِسْتِعْدَادِ لِلصَّلَاةِ قَبْلَ دُخُولِ الْوَقْتِ. And if you happen to sleep, and the time of قَيْلُولَة is actually before ظهر. Yeah? Nowadays we do it. Nowadays the قَيْلُولَة comes after you handle business at the lunch table. It's not really a qailula, it's like passing out. Huh? It's like fainting out of overeating. Because you've been working all day and then they put this food and rice and chicken and this. Ugh! Then you're done to say qailula. This is not qailula, this is called something else, barakallah fi. Qailula is when you take it, you know, relax a little bit before dhuhr. And you wake up for dhuhr. The Shaykh said, if you do, then make sure that you are alert enough so that you wake up early enough for salat dhuhr. You won't miss it. وَاعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارَ 24 سَعَةً. Know that the night and the day are 24 hours. فَالْإِعْتِدَالُ أَنْ يَنَامَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ الثُّلُثِ. Uh-huh, let's see the math now. I don't know who's good in math. Shu'aib, you look like you're, mashallah, you did A's in mathematics in school. Maybe not. Anyways, he said, so 24 hours, the average, the balance is that you sleep one-third. So one third is eight. Who agrees with him? Why are you laughing, Ya Muhammad? Huh, Muhammad? No way, you laughing means he's wrong. Give us another number. He said 8 hours. What do you say? Tayyib, why are you laughing at him? So we laugh at your answer too. He gave the same answer. Do you all agree that it's eight? It's mentioned. Tayyib, ya Abdul Majid, take it easy, man. وهو ثمان ساعات. We're doing some, otherwise people fall asleep. Trust me, I know what I'm doing. 8 hours. صحيح؟ طيب. You know, now this is, I'm going to be in trouble, because me and my wife, we argue about this all the time, and she always tells me it's 8 hours, and I say, you guys sleep too much. So now this is going to be used against me for Allah knows how long. And the first time I bring him to this class, I wind up reading this. قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ مَا شَاءَ فَعَلَ. I hope they're busy with the kids now. Sheikh bin Baz rahimahullah, they say he used to sleep 4 hours a day. He used to sleep 4 hours a day. Nah. So the Sheikh is saying, you know, this is i'tidal. But mind you, these are people who are praying half of the night and a quarter of the night, you know, not like today. فَمَنْ نَامَ أَقَلَّ مِنْ ذَلِكَ لَمْ يَأْمَنْ اِضْطِرَابَ بَدَنِي. Whoever sleeps lesser than that, he does not feel secure that he will have some physical problems. يا شيخ رحمنا يا شيخ رحمة الله عليك. وَمَنْ نَامَ أَكْثَرَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ كَثُرَ كَسَلَهُ. And whoever sleeps more than that, he will become lazier. And ask the people, some people sleep 12 hours and then he wakes up, he feels more tired than ever. And then he continues till 14 and 15 and it just goes on for days. Unless someone says, look, you have to get up, get out of this bed. Because the longer you sleep, the lazier you get. Yeah? Especially if you're sleeping on sleeping high or whatever that mattress is. Sleep high? Oh, I'm sorry. Sleeping high doesn't make sense. فَإِذَا نَامَ أَكْثَرَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ فِي اللَّيْلِ فَلَا وَجْهَ لِنَوْمِهِ فِي النَّهَارِ. He said, if you sleep more than this at night, there's no point in sleeping during the day. Huh? You've had plenty of sleep. You go work. بَلْ مَنْ نَقَصَ مِنْهُ اسْتَوْفَ مَا نَقَصَ فِي النَّهَارِ. Whatever you miss out of the night, then you can pray that during the day. So the Shaykh is sticking to the 8 hours at the end of the day. Balance. So however you do it, you do it. Distribute it, you know, throughout the day. Now, الورد الرابع ما بين الزوال إلى الفراغ من صلاة الظهر. The fourth word so far we've had, the first one which is between the second Fajr and Shuruq, then the second one between Shuruq and Duha, and then between Duha and Zawal. Now the fourth one ما بين الزوال إلى الفراغ من صلاة الظهر, the time between Zawal and Zuhr itself. وهو أقصر أوراد النهار وأفضلها. It's the shortest of the awrad of the morning and the best of them. فَيَنْبَغِي لَهُ فِي هَذَا الْوَقْتِ أَنْ إِذَا أَذَّنَ الْمُؤَذِّنَ أَنْ يُجِيبَهُ بِمِثْلِ قَوْلِهِ. And perhaps he's saying that because of Salat al-Fajr, bi Salat al-Zuhr, afwan. So it is incumbent on you, if during that time when the muaddin calls the adhan, that you respond to him by repeating the same. ثُمَّ يَقُومَ فَيُصَلِّيَ أَرْبَعَ رَكَعَةً. Then you get up and you pray 4 rak'ah. ويستحب له أن يطيلهن. And it is recommended that you elongate them, you stretch them. فإن أبواب السماء تفتح حينئذ, because the gates of the heavens are open during that time. ثم يصلي الظهر وسننها ثم يتطوع بعدها أربعة. Then he prays ظهر and the sunan, and then he prays also voluntarily أربعة. Of course, according to some ulama or according to another hadith, 2. If you want to get the house in Jannah, you have to pray 12 rak'ah, 2 before Fajr, 4 before Dhuhr, 2 after Dhuhr, 2 after Maghrib, 2 after Isha. But then we have other hadith about 4 after Dhuhr and 4 before Asr and more, so on and so forth. Now, الورد الخامس ما بعد ذلك إلى العصر يستحب له في هذا الوقت الاشتغال بالذكر والصلاة وفنون الخير ومن أفضل الأعمال انتظار الصلاة بعد الصلاة. The fifth one is after Salatul Asr. It is recommended that you busy yourself during that time with remembrance and prayer. وَفُنُونِ الْخَيْرِ. But is that possible? After Asr, you busy yourself with Salah? So what could Salah mean here? Dua. Huh? Because one of the meanings of Salah is Dua. وَلَا تَجْهَرْ بِصَلَاتِكَ وَلَا تُخَافِتْ بِهَا وَابْتَغِي بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ سَبِيلًا. دقيقة. Huh? We're dealing with the دخل وقت العصر إلى
till عصر, not after عصر.
Oh, okay. I read the paragraph below. But either way, I'm glad we mentioned that. So dua can also be called salah, because that particular ayah was interpreted by Aisha radiallahu anha that about the dua, that don't raise your voice in the dua. We mentioned that before. أحسنت يا شعيب. ما بعد ذلك إلى عصر. نعم. The word خمس is until عصر. Therefore, there's salah. If not, it could have been the other meaning. وفنون الخير. فنون, be careful now, because when you hear فنون today, you go to actors and actresses and فنان, and they, you know, they call them that names, but they're speaking about other kinds of work here, the works of good. ومن أفضل الأعمال انتظار الصلاة بعد الصلاة. Among the best of deeds is waiting for salah. waiting for the next salah after having done that one salah. Yani as soon as you finish dhuhr, you're already thinking about asr. And when you finish asr, you're thinking about maghrib. And after maghrib, isha. And after isha, fajr. So your mind is always preoccupied with preparation for the salah. Make sure that you have a plan accordingly. Because some people make the worst plans that conflict with salah. Salah, they don't even think about it. Then later say, oh yeah, that's the time of salah. You see this very often. So there's like, the maghrib will be at 6 o'clock, adhan. Someone will say, okay, well, I'll meet you at the whatever at 6 o'clock. My Shaykh, this is the time of salah. By the time I meet you, and with the zahma of Jeddah, and you make it on time, and it doesn't make sense. So make the appointment after salah. Or that we meet before salah, pray together, or we meet after salah. But meeting at the time of salah may ruin the salah for both of you. You're waiting for him and he's waiting for you. Or you're both going to the same destination, stuck in traffic. You don't want to be late. Both of you didn't pray on time. So someone who's like this, when you deal with times and appointments, salah is on his mind. He knows what's up. So he says, this is time of salah. I cannot have a meeting then. We cannot have a training then. We cannot do blah, blah, blah then. إلى آخره. حلو؟ الورد الخامس ما بعد ذلك الورد السادس إذا دخل وقت العصر إلى أن تصفر الشمس. The time of عصر until the sun becomes yellow. وليس في هذا الوقت صلاة سوى أربع ركعات بين الأذنين. There's no salah there except the four rak'at between the adhan and the iqama. You know, between every adhan, between every two adhan, in other words, there's the salah. ثم فرض العصر. Then صلاة العصر. ثم يتشاغل بالأقسام الأربع التي سبق ذكرها في الورد الأول. والأفضل فيها تلاوة القرآن بالتدبر والتفهم. Then you busy yourself with the four things we mentioned earlier. And here he specified Quran and Tadabbur, which means that earlier he was referring to the Al-Tafakkur, Al-Qira'ah, Al-Dhikr, Wa ila akhri, Al-Dua. So the best of them, the Shaykh said, is the recitation of the Quran with contemplation and understanding. This is the last one, inshallah. والورد السابع من اصفرار الشمس إلى أن تغرب وهو وقت شريف. From the time the sun becomes yellowish until it actually sets. And it is a blessed time. It's a noble time. قال الحسن البصري رحمه الله كانوا أشد تعظيما للعشي من أول النهار. That they used to, they used to magnify and this particular time, the evening time, more than the beginning of the day. فيستحب في هذا الوقت التسبيح والاستغفار خاصة. It is recommended that you do a lot of تسبيح and استغفار specifically. وبالمغرب تنتهي أوراد النهار. And at Maghrib time end the Awrad of the day. According to one opinion, of course. According to the other opinion, that from after Asr, before Maghrib, do أذكار المساء. صحيح؟ نعم. فينبغي أن يلاحظ العبد أحواله ويحاسب نفسه. So the slave should observe his own affair. And he should hold himself accountable. Reckon his own self. فقد انقضت من طريقه مرحلة. A part of the journey of his life has gone. Huh? From his way, is gone out of the way. نعم. وليعلم أن العمر أيام تنقضي جملتها بانقضاء أحدها. And let him know that the lifespan is nothing but days. All of it goes away when one by one go away. قال الحسن يا ابن آدم إنما أنت أيام. الحسن used to say, oh son of Adam, you're nothing but days. إذا مضى يومك مضى بعضك. If part of your day goes by, part of you goes away. وليتفكر هل ساوى يومه أمسه. And let him reflect, has today been equal to yesterday's. فإذا رأى أنه قد توفر على الخير في نهاره فليشكر الله سبحانه وتعالى التوفيق. If he sees that he's been involved in good during the day, then let him praise Allah Azza wa Jal for granting him success. فإن تكن الأخرى فليتب وليعزم على تلافي ما سبق من التفريط في الليل. If it's different, however, if he didn't do good in the day, then let him repent to Allah and have the conviction and the determination to avoid that, this negligence during the night. فإن الحسنات يذهبن السيئات. Because verily the good deeds get rid of the bad deeds. It erases the bad deeds. It drives them away. وليشكر الله تعالى على صحة جسمه. And let him praise Allah Azza wa Jal for the healthiness of his body. And we don't realize this until we get sick. Usually we take it for granted. Until you hurt your leg and you find that you can barely walk, or you wind up sitting in a wheelchair for a couple of days, and then you realize that you've been good for a long time. And now you're being tested a little bit. You see? We don't appreciate our health, subhanAllah. إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمَ اللَّهُ طَبْعًا وَبَقَاءِ بَقِيَّةٍ مِّنْ عُمُرٍ فِيهَا اسْتِدْرَاكُ التَّقْصِيرِ. And that Allah gave us a portion remaining in our lives so we may catch up on our shortcomings. وَقَدْ كَانَ جَمَاعَةٌ مِّنَ السَّلَفِ يَسْتَحِبُّونَ أَلَّا يَنْقَضِي يَوْمٌ إِلَّا عَنْ صَدَقَةٍ وَيَجْتَهِدُونَ فِي مَا أَمْكَنَ مِنْ كُلِّ خَيْرٍ. Some of the Salaf used to strive and prefer that you do not let one day go except that you've given some sadaqah, that the day doesn't end except with some sadaqah having given fi sabilillah. And they would strive in all forms of goodness. So with this, inshallah, we conclude, because the next chapter will be dealing with ذِكْرُ أَوْرَادِ اللَّيْلِ. The same division or categorization of the day will be done for the night. Therefore, we'll be dealing with Qiyamul Layl and the, you know, praying at night and many different things which are beneficial for us, inshaAllah ta'ala. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad.